the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind. Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing. Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning, with the very last line of what you've been listening to in the Gospel. "Among those born of women, there has been no greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And we'll pose the question, why did Jesus say that? And so we go back then to the beginning, and hopefully we can do this now in the next few minutes. If you were really, really listening to the readings this morning and looking at them, well, I'm going to make a distinction. There's a distinction between what Jesus said in the Gospel there's a direct connection between the first reading and what Jesus said in the Gospel. And then I'll try and explain why Jesus said that about John the Baptist. Now, the readings this morning make a distinction between two kinds of justices. One kind of justice, and is what the world understands as justice, we call it retributive justice. Somebody does something wrong, so they got to be punished. You got to lock them up, you got to somehow punish them. Now, I'm not saying all retributive justice is wrong. No, sometimes we need some, but there's a much better kind of justice. And that kind of justice we call restorative justice. So now let's look at those in more detail. And I suggest, and you can contradict me if you want, that most of you, maybe it's the first time that you thought about the distinction between these two kind of justices. And I think if we were to be honest, most of us are followers of John the Baptist rather than followers of Jesus. Why do I say that? Well, if you look at the preaching of John the Baptist, he was very much into retributive justice. He kind of preached fire and damnation. And if you don't respect God and you keep all the laws and commandments, you're going to be severely punished. You're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up in fire. You're going to suffer eternal damnation. So repent before it's too late. Now, if you think about it, and try and think along with me, because I'm trying to work this out as I go along. If you think about retributive justice, you lock somebody up or you punish somebody severely, it doesn't change them. And maybe it makes them bitter, maybe more angry, but it doesn't bring about any profound change, and certainly no kind of any, even the beginnings of any kind of transformation. So that person, now, if you're a parent, you need at times to discipline your children, whether it be a tiny little smack or time out or a denial of some privilege, but you're hoping, well, they won't do it again because in fear of being punished. But that's not a good reason for not doing something. Now go over to the other side. Restorative justice. How could you sum that up in a couple of sentences? Well, restorative justice is where you restore the person to the person who they really are, to the real person, to the person whom God wants you to be. You bring about in that person a total change, a total transformation. Now, if you look at the first reading for 1 second, you give me the book, and I think it's on page 40. And it's a lovely, lovely reading from Isaiah. Yep. And read there. Listen to these lovely words. The Lord will come with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. And then we go and we sing it in the responsorial psalm. The Lord comes to secure justice for the oppressed, to give food to the hungry, and so on, to give sight to the blind. And then listen to the beautiful words in the gospel this morning. When John the Baptist, he was in prison. He was locked up, probably in a dungeon, in a dark hole. And when you're in a dark hole, you know, if you've ever been there yourself, you have all kinds of doubts in your mind, and you begin to question everything. So there's poor John locked up, and he's having a lot of doubts about this person called Jesus, or called Christ. And so he sends, we're told, a couple of his trusted friends, two of his disciples, to ask Jesus, "Are you the one from God, or who are you?" Now, Jesus didn't say, "Go back and tell him, I was born of a virgin, I'm the son of David, and I'm the son of God." No, he said, "Go back and tell John what your own eyes have seen. The blind are cured, the lame walk, the deaf hear, those who are oppressed are no longer oppressed." That's the proof of God. Now, let's bring, that's restorative justice. And most of us from an early age, and most of us still, are still in the old kind of justice, retributive justice. So go back for a minute and I'll give you some good examples. If you're an addict, either to drugs or alcohol, and if there's anybody here who's a recovering alcoholic, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. As an alcoholic or somebody hooked on drugs, you hurt so many people. You hurt all the people around you. And the people around you get annoyed with you, and maybe they show their anger over the kind of life you're living. But you still keep on doing it. You still keep on doing it. It doesn't bring about any change in you. Until the day you come to the realization, "I'm tired of being sick. I'm sick of being sick. I'm tired of it." And you suddenly, your eyes are opened, and you, for the first time in your life, you decide yourself to do something about it. And you join join a wonderful organization like the AA. Now, the AA is all about restorative justice, making amends for what you have done, but accepting responsibility. That's what it's about. And it's not about punishment. It's not about punishment. And that's a wonderful example. But go back and look at where we are. We just don't believe the scriptures. We listen every Sunday. You read the Bible. You've heard it umpteen times, but we're still back. We're followers of John the Baptist. We think, "I've got to please God, otherwise I'm going to end up in hell or in purgatory. And God will send me to purgatory if I'm lucky, and he'll burden my backside for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. That's not going to change you. You're not going to love somebody who does that to you. So that's not the way. That's not the way. And so we got to change our whole attitude. Now, I know this from confession. Most people, and I've thought about this, most people, when they come to confession, don't really believe that they're forgiven. Now, you might say, "How do you make out that?" Well, listen to them. They come to confession, and I always finish off, "Now, please accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself." And they'll go back over the past. Well, God never half forgives. When he forgives you totally. It's like funny little story, but there's a certain amount of truth in it. There was a little woman into her 80s in the Dublin city. She went to confession every week. She had the same few little sins, no change. And then she'd always finish off, and Father, by the way, I committed adultery. Well, you know, the priest was kind of wondering. He probably guessed she was quite old by her age. So he said, oh, right, when did this happen? Oh, she said, Father, it must be about 60 or now or 65 years ago. Oh, well, he said to her, did you confess it before? Oh, of course, sure, I did, Father. But he said, there's no need to confess it again. Once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. And she said, I know, Father, but sure, I love to talk about it. What do you do with somebody like her, huh? You can't, can you? And also, have you ever thought it through? I have difficulty, well, this is very personal maybe to me, I have difficulty when in confession, people make an act of contrition, and in part of the act of contrition they say, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins because of the loss, the danger of the loss of heaven and the fear of hell. That's not being really sorry. I'm sorry for my sins because God loves me. And I have in some ways rejected that love, not because I might go to hell or because I mightn't get to heaven, but because I've offended a beautiful God who loves me absolutely. See the difference. See the difference. And you've got to get away from this whole idea of being punished. God is not into punishment. And God is not an eternal torturer. When are we going to realize that? Now, we finish off this coming Tuesday evening. We have a beautiful reconciliation service here. And God knows what you need to be forgiven for. You don't have to give him a long list, right? God knows what you need to be forgiven for. He knows much better than you do what you need to be forgiven for. So the idea, you come here on Tuesday evening, it's a lovely welcoming atmosphere, and we create a nice ambience with the lights turned down, and we have some prayers, short prayers at the beginning, a little explanation of what we're going to do. We'll have a number of priests here, those of you who haven't been here before, and those of you who have always gone away very happy. You'll come to one of the priests, and the priests, most of them will remain standing. Just say, I'm sorry for all my sins, and maybe especially my sins against charity or whatever. Amen. And you go back to your seat, and we'll have the demonstrants on the altar and kneel down and just look at Jesus and tell him, you're glad to be here, and thank him for his forgiveness. Then at the end, we'll give you absolution, and we'll give you a blessing with the monstrance. We'll sing a very happy and joyful hymn, and you'll go home, like the gospel says this morning, leaping like a young stag, full of joy. And what's more, I promise, we begin at 7 o'clock, and you're going out that door before 8 o'clock. But you're very welcome to stay until 9 or 10, but that'll be up to you, but you'll be on the way home by 8 o'clock. Is that fair? So I'll be looking forward to seeing you all on Tuesday evening, because I'm looking down at you and I know you all need forgiveness. So let's stand now.